We're in Galatians now. We did a little bit of the intro last week. We talked about that even though Hebrews, through all of the material that I've looked and scoured through, that, you know, there's not a clear, definite a distinction of who the author is. But Galatians is very clear. We all know that. We talked about this last week. And we know that this particular letter is not like the book of, or the letter to which church, which is a friendship letter. Do you guys remember which letter that Paul wrote that is actually in a genre called a friendship letter? Do you guys remember? That's the book of?
Corinthians.
Philippians. Very good. So the book of, did you say Philippians?
No.
Okay. That's okay. I'll give you credit anyways. All right. Sounded like it to me. It's Ian's, ends at Ian's. We're all there. You know, it's like just about 10 pages away. So we're close enough. We're close enough. Right. So Philippians is a friendship letter. That's the genre of the letter. There's a type of letter that we see Philippians pattern after in those days. Galatians is not. Galatians has one of the angriest tones of Paul based on what we started to, well, we didn't start looking at it last week. But we know that it's Paul. And what we did last week was we tracked which missionary journey because, and I'll just go through that, because when we study Paul's epistles, it is very crucial for us to have an understanding of the challenges, the background that made up the letter. Okay, so whenever we study epistles, background information is important. Okay, which is why last week I was trying to refresh you that Galatia is this region here. And when we looked at, we talked about that this was during the first missionary journey that Paul took. And what we did last week, we actually went through this first missionary journey. We actually read through several different sections of scripture in Acts 13 and then 14. And today I'd like to take a little peek at 15. And this will give you, even if you read Acts and you didn't even have a Bible dictionary or anything to help you with more of the background information that the churches, plural, in Galatia were facing, even reading Acts, you start to see it. You will start to see it. What we saw last week was there is a tension increasing as we go through Acts 13 through 14. And so we saw that Paul started in Antioch here, went to the island of Cyprus, and went through Pamphylia and into the region of Galatia. And in Antioch, we started to see this tension grow. Okay? What we're going to do right now as just a refresher is I'd like you to turn your Bibles open to Acts 14 once again. That will help set us up and get us into the mindset of some of this growing tension. So again, these are things that we pick up, especially as we read through narrative. We looked at it last week. I'm not going to go through all the details, but it will help frame it up as if for many of you who were not here last week. Okay, so chapter 14, verse 1, I'm just going to read for us and follow along. We looked at these verses last week. We're going to start at verse 1. But here already, from verse 1, we see that Paul has already moved from Antioch now to Iconium. Okay, so he's already in the Galatian regions, planted a church, spread the gospel. Always starting at where? Where did he start at? What was the pattern? Even when Paul is called to reach the Gentiles, what is the pattern of where Paul goes? The first place he typically goes to is where? Jewish synagogue, right? Or in the case of when he went to Macedonia, he went to a place of prayer where Jews went to pray, right? That's where he ran into Lydia, right? You remember that? But the reason why we've shared before is because as the Jewish diaspora, right, the Jews that have been spread all throughout the different land because of persecution against the Jews, And even we saw back from the return from exile. Okay, am I moving too fast here? Remember, we've talked about this many times, that because of the different placement of Jews all over the place, that was God's way as they were leading even non-Jews to come to faith in Yahweh. We were seeing groups of people go from polytheism to what? To what? What's the opposite of polytheism? Monotheism, right? So you see at least these God-fearing people, and that's where, you know, Paul a lot of times goes through first. Look at verse 1. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue, okay, as we just said, and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews, okay, that's the pattern that we've been seeing, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his, what? Grace. Granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, they learned of it and fled to where? Lystra and Derbe, and to the surrounding country, and there they continued to preach the gospel. Okay, where do we see they go to? From Iconium to Lystra and Derbe, okay? And these areas, these surrounding areas, and they continue to preach the gospel there. Why? Why did they have to flee? Because they were because they were facing this growing tension that was coming from where?
Unbelieving Jews.
To the unbelieving, which are the non-Christian Jews. Remember, we talked about this in the book of Hebrews too. Jewish people are so loaded under the law of Moses, the old covenant. They are loaded. Hence what we call Judaism. That is religion under the old covenant. They are so loaded with the law of Moses, the works of the law. This is what is said over and over again. And you see this because they faced this tension and they were poisoning their minds against the Christian brothers. Verse 13 says, they had to remain for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the what? Word of his what? What does it say?
Grace.
Granting signs and wonders to be done by their hand. That is a very important word. It is the word of God's grace. Okay? They had to stay there to clarify the word of grace. Okay, we're just going to keep that in mind as we see this going on. Well, it got to the point where verse 19, he's in Lystra now. Let's just jump to 19. But the Jews now at this point, as they're planting churches and doing all that stuff now here, because they fled out of Iconium. Now they're down here in this area, Lystra. Verse 19 says, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. Wow, what does that mean? Jews came from where? Here and here. What are they doing? They are following. They are stalking these great, the word of grace teachers. They are following. They are stalking. They are trying to hunt down the Jesus people. The people bringing the message of Jesus and his grace. Okay? And having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. And then, you know, you can skim through. Then, when they had preached the gospel to the city, verse 21, and had made disciples, then they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch. So basically, this is where they made their turn back. They were planting. How were they planting churches? They were just leading people to Christ, forming churches. Leading people to Christ, that formed the church, right? People becoming disciples. And then, boom, they get to Derbe, and then they went back to encourage the churches that they had planted, and then they came all the way back home. Okay, that is the tee up. That is what we're seeing. That is what we're seeing in this particular background. So where are we in this? Upon arriving back in Antioch. Okay, now this is the other Antioch. Okay, we talked about the clarity of this last week. There's an Antioch here. Okay. All right, everybody? Yeah. The Antioch here. And this is not the Antioch that's referring to here. Okay. So this is where Paul started. This is where they were sent off after the Jerusalem Council, if you want to see it in 15. Right? So as we go on, you'll see all this tension that's growing against the Jews and the law of Moses and the conflict of now, even that we saw in Hebrews. Now we are Christians, but we are of the people of Israel. We are Jews. Do we we still need to get circumcised though, right? We still have to abide by the law of Moses, right? It was a very confusing time for Christians. You guys follow me? So these Jews are all like, well, we gotta keep doing everything that, I mean, we are so loaded. I mean, generation after generation after generation, we followed these patterns of our religion. I mean, now we believe in Jesus. Jesus died for our sins, the message of grace, but we still have to eat kosher, right? We still have to practice the Sabbath and be circumcised, right? And that's what led to chapter 15 in the Jerusalem Council. Okay, you guys with me? So here we are. After Paul has arrived back at Antioch where he started from his first missionary journey. That was an 18-month trip of leading people to Christ and planting churches. Paul received a report that the churches he had started in Galatia had fallen into hard times. Specifically, they had fallen into error. Okay, that's what Paul found out. This group of Jewish people, the Judaizers, those who sought to make a living under the Mosaic law and a requirement of the Christian faith, had gained influence in the Galatian churches. So Paul wrote the book a few months before his attendance at the Jerusalem Council in AD 49, a meeting where the apostles would take up this very topic. That's where we get to 15. Okay, you guys with me? So what we see, even in Acts, okay, I'm sorry. So what we see, even in Acts, is that even from 1 through 12, Christianity, the Jesus movement, began with the Jews. It starts with the Jews in Jerusalem. The message is going out quickly. But the Jew, Jewish, Christian, Gentile, Christian tension begins. You start to see it in the beginning part of Acts. As we go through Acts 13, 14, part of which we just read, Paul, during his first missionary journey, starts with the Jews in the synagogues and Gentiles gather to hear, but the Jew and Jewish Christian, Gentile Christian tension continues to grow, and it comes to a head in Acts 15. But this writing of this letter occurs before the Jerusalem Council, where they settle it. And they're like, we have to reach the Gentiles. Okay? And we're not going to front load these particular things. Okay, you guys with me? Okay, so that's what we have to know. That there is this tension building up. And there's this confusion in this period of time as they're starting with monotheistic Jewish people, bringing Jews and these Gentiles to Christ. But now we're so loaded down with the works of the law where we have to do all these things to get right with God. There's confusion. And Jewish Christians, and then even the non-Christian Jews, are telling the Gentiles, the only way you can get right with God is if you do these things. You got to do the works. You guys with me? And that's what was coming in. So historically, as we saw in Hebrews, which is great, I really love the pattern I'm going to take a quick moment here. If you're following along with devotions, it's just a good time. We went through Hebrews. I went through all the background of Hebrews that is loaded in a Jewish person's mind, right? And the works of the law. And then right after Hebrews, we're now in Galatians, which is dealing with the same issues of the work of the law, okay? And then it's really cool because in 2 weeks as a class, and as many people as I'm going to try to remind in the church, we'll start our reading in Passion Week. And we'll see what Jesus came to do and why Jesus came to suffer and die. And it is not merely his physical suffering and drinking the cup of wrath for all mankind that he came to do, but and not just for our own personal salvation, not even, yes, the salvation of the world, but it's to usher in his covenant, the new covenant. Right? So we got Hebrews, we get Galatians, then we get Passion Week. We focus on what Jesus was all about, what Hebrews and Galatians is writing all about Jesus. And then, because we're going to talk a lot about grace, we go to Book of James, which says what? You know, Galatians is going to focus on, we're going to see it today, Galatians is going to focus on, hey, it's not by works you're saved. Get that out of your brain. It's not by your works. And it's going to be really cool because when we get to James, he's going to say, but you can't have a faith without this result of works. It's really cool. So I think the devotional people did a really good job of kind of strategizing that this year. And I'm excited to go through that. But they are loaded. These Hebrews, the Jews, the covenant people of God, they were focused on one ethnicity. Under the old covenant, Israel, the Hebrews, the Jews, and they were set apart by practices commanded in the law, which we call the Torah, which is building up this old covenant. I want you guys to talk real quick now then. I want you to talk as we think about this, as we think about all the front loading that the Jews face, all the front loading that you get. I want you to talk. What are some of those practices that made the Jews, we went through this in Hebrews, we're looking at it in Galatians, and I want you to refresh yourselves again. What are the things, what are all these practices commanded by the law and under the old covenant that the Jews were very proud of, that's very loaded in their minds when they think about getting right with God? Okay, talk about that in your group. What are the different, you guys follow me? Yeah, it's a pretty easy question. So spend a few minutes doing that, and then we'll come back together again. Okay. This shouldn't be too hard of a question. Okay. So why don't we all just give one from our groups? You know, this is pretty easy, you know. All right, you guys say? Circumcision of males. Yeah. Right, okay. How about the back group here? You guys are all part of a group, man. Hey, Pastor James, so you talk. You just have to talk. Huh? Okay, stoning people. You got to stone people. Get right with God. Okay, how about in the back?
Eat kosher food.
Okay, please explain that. What's that kosher food?
I think it's the book of Leviticus. There's right. Some requirements. They can not, well, the marks of animal origin, things like that.
Okay, good. Like?
Pork fat, things like
pork,
that.
Pork, right? So you can't eat parts of pig, like that type of particular hoofed animals. Split hooves, there you go. Thank you very much. Split hoofed animals. How many guys like lobster, shrimp, you know, shellfish, right? We talked about that. Okay, good. How about this group in the back here? Okay, keeping the Sabbath, right? Okay. How about you guys? Huh? Anything else? Yeah. So, yeah, easy, right? I mean, these are just all the different things that we've talked about. There were so many Jewish Christians that believed that for all of these non-Jews to truly become a part of God's covenant family, right? See, our Sunday school class, we spent 3 months going through covenant. So you know You know, covenant language is so important in Scripture. And these Jews were believing that if these non-Jewish Christians were to be a part of God's covenant family, they had to abide by all these things that we do too. Right? There's this kind of uncertainty, this unclarity of what they were facing. Okay? So that's why, as we read, as we're going through now, just introducing the book of Galatians, as we do that through devotions, you gotta know the background to better understand why Paul is so angry in his tone, right? This is just a rough letter. You know, you see it. He comes out of the gates swinging, right? He's coming out hard because this error has slipped in. When Paul heard that this was happening in the churches of Galatia, he was not just heartbroken, he was angry. Okay. And so what was happening is that these unknowing non-Jewish Christians were starting to embrace something else, what Paul himself called a different gospel. And it really started to create this division. Paul had reason to be angry. Remember, he was on an 18-month trip planting these churches, leading people to Christ, getting these groups of families together to meet together, to love Jesus together, to share this community and his word together, to enjoy salvation in Christ. And what we said again, the word of grace. Okay? And yet, because of the fact that there are now Jewish, he started with the Jews, and there's Jewish Christians who are loaded down with old covenant concepts. They're mixing it all in. All right? That made Paul kind of ticked. All right? So let's read Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. We're going to look at these a little bit more here. Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9. And if you don't have your Bible, which you should in this class, you know, feel free to just follow along up here. But Galatians chapter 1, and I'm just going to start with 6. So follow with me here. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace, okay, see that again, of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. Okay, and he clarifies, not that there is another gospel, there is no other gospel, but you've turned to something else then. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, I'm going to say it again. If anyone, even an angel, okay, is preaching to you a gospel that is contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. That's what's going on. Okay. And then, remember, one of the big dog apostles, Peter, Cephas. Okay, let's read in Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 14. Okay, this is Peter. Okay, so I'm just going to replace that with Peter. But when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. Check out what Peter did, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, okay, that's of the circumcised party, he was eating with the Gentiles. Okay, Peter's eating with the Gentiles. It's all good. It's all cool. But when these part of the circumcised party came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with Peter, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, he single-handed him out, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like the Jews? You keep on going. Verse 15, look at that. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. You guys get that? Isn't that kind of cool? You see here, right here, that's the issue that we're dealing in Galatians. You're seeing that there is something, like Paul's a pretty good dude, okay? He has a lot of grace on people. I mean, he does stir up. I mean, he started up a few times, intentionally. But in this one here, he made a public, it appears, call out of one of the big dog apostles. Why would you think? What is the one main issue I want you to try to get at that made Paul so bothered and so angry that he would call out Peter in front of other people? I mean, the answer is kind of there, but what does it have to do with? What is a thing that is under attack? Is it the church that's under attack? What is Paul bothered with? Tell me. What is the main issue of Galatians? What is Paul bothered with?
That you have to work for salvation.
Okay, because that has to do with what? It has to do with the gospel, someone said. Okay? In Paul's mind, a lot of this stuff, when we talk about false teachers, the biggest thing in Paul's mind is you mess with the gospel. If you mess with the gospel, he's using that word anathema, cursed. You ought to be cursed. If he goes, if even I come to you again, if an angel comes to you guys and gives you a gospel that is different, let him be accursed. That's a big deal. That's like cursed. Okay, that, you know, we've talked about that word before in this class. Okay? That's heavy. All right? So that's the deal in Galatians. Okay? So justified, you know, in just kind of a simple junior high language, you know, would say it means get right before God. A person is not made right with God by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? So, I mean, for some of us, this is like super old news, but for others, you may be hearing it for the first time. Salvation, then, as Paul was writing, is not equal to being made right with God by works. Okay?
Yes. I'm sorry. Dumb question.
No, there's no dumb question.
My Bible, my translation here is showing Cephas and not Peter.
Yes, oh yeah. I said that.
Cephas.
Yes. I said that I'm going to replace Cephas with just saying Peter because that's okay. Peter. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Right? Rather, salvation is being made right with God through faith in Jesus, right? This is what we see. This is what we just got to, you got to lock this down. This is the issue that Paul's fighting against. This is the issue that we saw in Hebrews. This is the issue that we see here. Okay? This is important for us to understand that we are justified through faith in Christ, and that leads to our works. That's why we're going to get into the book of James. That's why the devotional material is going to take us into James after Passion Week. Right? But that works is that byproduct. Works is the product of a new life. We love Ephesians chapter 2, 8, and 9, and we get to 10. It says, you were created for that. You're saved for that. That's the byproduct of your life, right? Okay, so I want you guys to think about this because this leads to a bunch of questions, okay? Well, you know, here, if you were taking photos, you know. But what you see throughout even Acts and even Galatians, it's that word grace, right? So, here's what he says to them in chapter 3, verse 16. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. So let me ask you this, and I just put each question out because, you know, Paul just uses rhetorical questions, right? Which means the answer is very obvious. So you tell me what the obvious answer is. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you foolish? Okay. They're like, he's like, yes. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies a Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. What would you say? What's the obvious answer? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Obvious answer? Okay. Works of the law, right? Hearing with faith. Are you so foolish? Yes, that's the answer. Having begun by the Holy Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? I just want you to think about something real quick. What is being compared? What is being juxtaposed? What is being looked at side by side? What do you see here? Do you see this? We receive the Holy Spirit by hearing with faith, not by works of the law. And if you began by the Spirit, okay, that means, okay, we should be perfected by the Spirit. That means you're growing by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So what are two things that are kind of being put together right here? What do you think right here? Obviously, you see Spirit language, Spirit being received, and you being perfected by the Holy Spirit. But what are the other two things being kind of combined together?
Works and flesh.
And you know what's really cool is this is rhetorical for Paul. Meaning, he's saying it in a way that they wouldn't know the answer. These are less than 18th month Christians, right? Because he started going, you know, first missionary journey, went through the island of Cyprus and then went around. Okay, probably believers less than 1 year in their faith. And throughout Galatians so far, we've seen the hammering of the word of grace. Okay? That you are not saved by the works of the law, but by grace. How many, when you were saved, you heard that strong message of grace? In our church today, I wonder, those coming to Christ, are they hearing? Are they familiar with the concept of grace? These are Christians less than a year in their faith, and they're familiar with the fact that they received the Holy Spirit by hearing with faith. And living this life, being perfected and growing by the Holy Spirit, not by your works, not by flesh. I wonder if our new believers are hearing. When you were a new believer within a year, did you hear that you're supposed to live by the Spirit? Did you hear that you're supposed to be living, that you were saved by His grace and not by the works of the law? I wonder. Because what would Paul write to our church if we're not doing that? If there are non-believers here that are loaded down with some other type of gospel that they have to do something in order to be made right with God, what letter would be written to us?
Oh, foolish child.
Oh, foolish Chinese. I don't know. I'm not sure. Right? That That's just a question for us to put out there. But as we are teaching, as we are talking, as we're walking with new believers, as we're walking with each other, how many of us are being perfected by the Spirit and not by the works of our flesh? Flesh is opposed to Spirit. Flesh and works of the law is opposed to the Spirit. It is pitted against each other. You see that? Paul is very bothered by that. So I'm going to ask you guys a question to think about. Paul was so concerned that these Christians had turned from the grace of Christ and neglected the Spirit, turning to a different gospel and distorting the gospel of Christ. He said, there's not even a different gospel. It's just you messed it up. Okay? Somebody has messed up your understanding of the gospel. He wasn't, right? Paul is so bothered that the gospel has been messed up and it's affecting people. So my question to you is right now in your groups, in what ways might Christians inadvertently, because I don't think anybody says, I want to corrupt the gospel. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says like, yeah, you know, we love God, we love the word, we're just going to tweak the gospel. But you know, how do we as Christians inadvertently turn away from the grace of Christ and distort the gospel of Christ? Think about that for a moment, would you? And talk about that in your groups. In what ways? You don't have to talk, you know, this is not our church. It's just, I use Christians in general. The world of Christians over the centuries gone by. Or today. How about just today? Christians today. How do Christians today inadvertently turn? Okay, talk about that in your groups. Because I don't think anybody means to, but it happens. All right. Good. So we're going to jump right back into this next week. Okay, I just looked at the time and I'm over. So we're going to continue on in this discussion next week because this is pretty serious, right? Paul's angriest letter because the gospel was affected, right? So let's jump into this next week and we'll close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, once again for just bringing us together. We started this morning by coming before you with some prayer on behalf of brothers and sisters, the spoken and those who rose their hands with unspoken requests. And Father, we continue to thank you that whenever we have a moment to turn our attention to you and to your word, Lord, your Spirit is alive in us. It directs us to have our confidence in you. And so, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters today, Lord, that you allow us to continue on in corporate worship as one body of believers. Father, that you would nourish us, that you would remind us the beauty of what it means to be part of this local church. That when we sing in one voice, as we pray in one heart, and we receive the message that you want to give to us through your word and through the nudging of the Spirit inside of us, Father, we are thrilled once again, and we're encouraged and blessed to know that we are children of the living God. Father, would you help us to appreciate not only the truth, but the clarity of what the gospel is. And thank you for the transformative work of the gospel in our lives. May we continue as we have begun by receiving the Holy Spirit through our faith. May we continue to grow and be perfected by living, walking in step with your Spirit, not to be people of the flesh. Father, we thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.